You're listening to Run, R-U-N, Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. As pastor of the Smithton Outpouring and the Kansas City Revival, Steve is a leading voice of revival worldwide. Steve shares his life-changing encounters with God, along with biblical teaching that equips you to experience and lead lasting revival. Come, run with Steve and expect God to revive us now.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another Revive Us Now podcast. I am your host, Steve Gray. So excited to talk to you about revival, the move of God, the presence of God, and what we can have. Where are we in history right now? Because we can talk about changes in the world. Our country's changing. There's a lot of conflict and who wants what, where, and they have all these things coming into our schools and government and new, you know, ideas about who's what and who's what, you know, alternate lifestyles and all this kind of stuff coming in. And then others are saying, I should have all those people telling me what I'm to do and what I'm thinking. I want to raise my kids the way I want to. And basically the church is pretty silent on it. You know, I don't see the church much involved. And then we have things overseas and wars and rumors of wars and what's going to happen. All these things, gas prices, inflation, food price, everything's going, you know, the way it wasn't a few years ago. And so what's going on? Where are we in time? You know, in time. Well, in Jesus' day, the king, the Roman army was there. And on top of that, the religious people were in, you know, they were in with the Romans. You know, they had compromised. And not the Jews, the regular Jews were angry about it. And they had the compromising people, the compromising leaders, like King Herod was in, you know, total compromise with them. And so there's high taxes, and they took land away from the Jewish people and then made them come and work it and gave them leftovers. It's just a big mess. And so the people, the regular folks, they wanted to know, and the people following Jesus wanted to know. And some of the Pharisees wanted to know, who were a little more wiser, wanted to know. And they said to Jesus in Luke 14, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, the guy who said that meant in the future. And they're basically saying, this is going to be great. There's a future kingdom of God, and it's going to be better then. And you can hear that today in religion, like, it'll all be great when we get to the other side. And they're kind of avoiding the idea that God could do anything today. So this was a kingdom of God statement, which is good. It is true. Blessed is he who will eat at the feast. So it's future. But Jesus replied, and he said, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests to the banquet. And he said, 'Tell those that I've invited.'" So he had invited, in this parable, he invited people to the banquet. And this is the way they did it in that day. They would invite everybody. And they didn't have microwave. They didn't have fast food services or, you know, anything like that. And so they would invite them sort of like so they would know how many are coming. So then they could prepare it and they could plan, because they had to, you know, they had to kill the fatted calf. They had to slaughter. They had to, you know, it was a little bit different, right? And it took a long time to get ready. And so they'd invite him. They'd see, okay, so now we know about how many are going to come, and we'll plan it. We'll put it on the calendar. And so in this parable, he said, okay, we planned it. We've invited everybody. And he said, so now come and tell everybody that I invited that everything is now ready. But when he told them that, then it says, as you read this, then everybody made these lame excuses. And they said, "I bought some oxen. I need to be excused. Just have me excused. I got married. Have me excused. You know, bought a house," or whatever he said. And all those things they said, and, you know, and they all made excuses. So the master didn't like that. And he said, "Well, go out and get all the uninvited. So if the invited are not going to come, go get the uninvited." And there's important, you know, theological things about that. And he said, "Well, I've already done that." He said, "Well, just go out and get some more that way out there. And now we need some people to compel them to come in. I mean, let's really push this thing." And then he said, "And then those that I originally invited, they're not going to get in. Don't even let them in. Even if they show up, don't let them in. They're out. They're not going to, be able to come. So that was that parable. Now, as if we're going to apply it today, is there any implication to that today? So here we have, of course, the talk sometimes of the future banquet and the kingdom of God. Okay, but Jesus didn't do that. When he said, great is the kingdom of God banquet, meaning in the future, Jesus didn't say that. He said, listen, come, because everything is now ready. So he's saying, you know what? Okay, that future banquet's going to happen, and that's good. But you know what? We're living in a now-ready time. And he says, here I am. And you know what he's saying is, for centuries, the Jewish people had said, when the Messiah comes, man, we're going to be ready. Whatever generation, we're praying, oh, Messiah, come, 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 come. And we're going to be ready, and we're going to do it. So all of a sudden, here's the Messiah. And he says, here I am. The Messiah has come, and the kingdom of God has arrived now. Because, you know, everywhere he went, he preached the kingdom of God. It wasn't just future. It is a future banquet. But he was right now. The kingdom of God is here, and he preached it. John the Baptist preached it. Here it is. And guess what? The people weren't interested. Nobody was interested. Nobody had time. Everybody made excuses and yeah, okay. And here the great Jesus, Messiah, is doing great things, and they opposed him and they weren't interested and they had better things to do. And it was a now ready time and full of excuses. All the people that could have done it were making excuses. And that's where we are. That's our time period right now. And so Jesus has to go get some other people, or the master has to go get some other people, the uninvited. He has to go get some other folks, and then he's got to even go farther, and he's got to find, he says, we'll compel him to come in. So let's look at that just a minute. Do you understand where we are in time? Listen, we already know there's wars and rumors of wars, and we're not in little wars now. There's rumors of big wars, nuclear wars, powerful wars. I don't think the world's going to come to an end. No, sirree. It's not going to blow up the world and all of a sudden we're all going to be gone. You know, that's not going to happen. There's too many scriptures that teach us what's going to really happen. That's another subject. But there are the ability to destroy is big. There's a big kind of war. Is there a possibility of a world war? Yes. Is there a big possibility? Probably. The idea of a world war never happening again in your lifetime, if you're young, it's probably going to happen. I'll just have to say that. Okay. So we, in order to stop that, in order to prepare for that, in order to turn that, we need some things done. And so let's see if anything's ready. All right. Now let's look at this. So there's wars, rumors of wars, there's famines, there's the economy, there's all kinds of things transitioning in the world that don't look, that make things not look so good. So now let's look at things. Let's look at where we are today. Jesus said, come now, everything's ready, and nobody did. Nobody did anything. Well, let's look at our world. Come, if I said that, now everything's ready. All right, look. We got the biggest churches in our country right now. We got churches as big as a Coliseum. Did you know that? We got churches everywhere across our cities, beautiful buildings, some of them huge. We got mega churches. We got regular churches. We got churches with gymnasiums, parking lots, programs, technology, streaming, all kinds of, you know, everything, light show. We got everything. Beautiful churches. We got more educated preachers than we've ever had before, because they can go on the internet, they go to Bible school, they don't even have to go to Bible school, just go on the internet, and if you don't get a sermon, go on there and you can get somebody else's sermon, and you can preach that. We got technology, we got big buildings, we got money, churches are richer now, we got multi-million dollar preachers. You can go down, you just go on the internet and find out how much some of these preachers are worth, millions, $150 million preachers, $80 million preachers, how much money they bring in. And I'm not being critical, I'm just saying, that's a lot of money. Churches, what's these churches worth? Millions and millions and millions of dollars that these churches bring in every year. And the millions that these preachers are making in salaries every year. And so, I'm not talking about great t-shirts and coffee mugs and books, and I mean powerful and worship leaders that are known all over the world and all over our country, and CDs and books and everything that we've got now. Is there ever a time that we've been more now ready? Listen, everything's ready. We could have the greatest move of God we've ever had in the history of the world if we wanted to. Everything's now ready. Wars and rumors of wars, and people are afraid and arguing and bickering. And how do you get rid of that? You know, the fighting comes because people want something and they can't get it. But the kingdom of God is among us, and the Spirit of God can heal that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kindness. If we could get the fruit of the Spirit, can you imagine not a world war, but a world revival? And they've had them before, where all of a sudden hunger for God and hunger for holiness, hunger for the Spirit of God sweeps over the earth and over our churches. I mean, we're now ready. We got the churches, we got the technology, we got the money, we've got the talent. Everything is now ready to have a move of God that could change our world if we just had the people that wanted it. But instead of doing it, everybody makes excuses. If I were to tell them, your church, or you got a church big as a Coliseum or big as a block, church block, let's do this. Let's band together. Let's have a move of God. Let's forget everything else. Let's save the world, and let's have a move of God. And everything's now ready. We got everything we need. We can blast it on the internet. We can have everybody come. We got room for everybody. We got the money. We got the TV cameras. We got everything. We can do it. And here, you know what I'd get? Excuses. Well, you know, I don't think my church would go for that. And I got to pay for this building. And I just don't know if my people would like it. And, you know, we've had COVID. And it'd be full of excuses, full of excuses. And so what's going to happen then with everything now ready? God, what's he going to do? The church is hurting. I mean, the world is hurting. There's wars. We need a move of God. And God's the only thing that can save us. You're going to have a nuclear war. You better have God on your side. You better have a God on your side. This is bigger than politics. It's going to have a God movement. Yeah, to change the hearts of people and save us now. And so now he says, well, I got to go get some other people. If these people aren't going to do it, then these churches, they're going to have to dry up, and people are going to have to move on, or they're not going to be able to pay for their buildings, or they're going to have to go out of business sale, or it's just going to be dull religion and who cares, you know, just a who cares movement, right? Just who cares. And then he says, well, if you get enough people that weren't invited, he says, then you're going to have to go out and compel some more to come in. Well, how are we going to do that? I don't know. Are there any compelling people left? Is there anybody left that really compels people? Where's the compelling people? Well, I'm telling you, we could have the greatest move of God right now. We could have a banquet in our churches, and we could have revival across this nation that could touch the world while there's wars going on. There's rumors of war. There's threat of war. There could be a World War III war, and we could have the greatest move of God that could change this world and change the hearts of nations. But everybody's got an excuse. I'm telling you, now, everything's ready, but everybody makes excuses. I'm telling you, now is the greatest hour. If you're not one of those people, if you have the compelling Spirit of God in your heart, then grab it. Talk to your church. Talk to your pastor. If you're a pastor, talk to your people. Now is the time, because everything is now ready. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. Push the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode, and spread the word on social media. For more episodes and resources, go to reviveusnowpodcast.com. Until next time, keep on running for revival.